2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. It's not a pleasant thing to think of death, especially when it's our own or that of a loved one. We know that death is coming. It cannot be avoided. We see it all around us. And during the past few months of this pandemic, we've been confronted with the reality of death more so than in many years. But for the Christian, there is so much more going on than just the dissolution of the body and the end of our earthly existence. Yes, Christians will die too, and their bodies will be committed to the grave. But as one of my favorite theologians, Jeffrey Gibbs, has said, for the Christian, this is merely a temporary setback. For the Christian, there is a future and a hope for both the soul and the body. Christians believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And that's what's going on here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. First of all, this is what we know. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is something we know. We know it because God has revealed it in the Bible. Jesus said it, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. God said it. We believe it, so we know that it's true. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know that our earthly home, this tent, will one day be destroyed. It will be dissolved, but we will still have a home to live in. Paul is still thinking about the dual aspect of what it means to be persons. In chapter 4, he expressed it in terms of pieces of pottery that contain something valuable. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. The jar of clay, our mortal flesh, the person that we are in terms of this life and world, frail, fragile, easily broken, wasting away, subject to pain, suffering, and death. And then the treasure within, the person that we are in terms of eternity, the spiritual man or woman that we are by God's grace. Paul now changes the metaphor to something that he was very familiar with, a tent. Paul was a man who worked with his hands and was, by trade, a tent maker. He knew how flimsy they were, subject to wear and tear with use, always in need of repair, and they were temporary, not meant to be someone's permanent home. You know, even the Son of God lived in a tent. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. According to John's Greek, he pitched his tent. He tabernacled among us. He did this so that he could know what it was like for us to live down here, subject to pain and suffering and temptation, and so that he could die to set us free from our sin and misery. We know that our earthly tent will be destroyed, but we know that we have a much more substantial building, one with a solid foundation, an eternal dwelling place in heaven. What a wonderful future there is for the Christian. This is what we know. Now, second, this is what we want. Verse 2, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. We want this better home. There's something wrong with the tent that we now have. It's not made to weather the storms that come against us. It's not strong enough to defend us against the arrows of the enemy. It's not a permanent place for us to live. It's wearing away with everyday use. Just as there's something wrong with the clay jar that holds the treasure, it's frail and fragile and easily cracked and broken. Just as there's something wrong with the outer person that we are, he or she is wasting away, subject to affliction, coming apart at the seams, transient, headed for the grave. And so in this tent we groan, being burdened, feeling the weight of life in a not-so-friendly world. What we want and need is a heavenly body and a heavenly home. One that cannot be destroyed and will not crumble and fall apart. One that will last forever. The Apostle Peter hits the nail on the head when moved by the Spirit. He writes to describe the permanence of our future home in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. That is, it will never perish, spoil, or fail to satisfy us. Kept in heaven for you, that is, kept beyond the reach of change and decay, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And then Peter says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while is necessary. That is, as you live in this flimsy, decaying, uncomfortable, temporary tent, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what you want? Why invest all your time and energy and resources into patching up this old tent when God has something way better for you? This is what we know. This is what we want, to be safe and secure forever and to be at home in heaven. Third, this is how we know all this is for real. Verse 5, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. There's two thoughts that have gripped Paul at this point. First, this wonderful future home that is ours is all from God. It's not from us. It's not from anything we have done or can do. It's not what anyone else can do for us. This very thing is from God. He put it all together. He has prepared it for us, and he has prepared us to enjoy it. And so we can say, because it is from God, we will enjoy it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And then Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Foreknew, predestined, called, justified, also glorified. Notice that all of these powerful, gracious acts of God in saving us are all spoken of in the past tense. Foreknew, predestined, called, justified, glorified. Yet you and I are painfully aware that we haven't yet been made perfect. We have not yet been glorified. But because this very thing is of God, it's going to happen. In God's mind, it is already done. Be sure to look at God's promise about your future life and home in the same way. It's done. It is all from God. And then second, God himself guarantees our future home and blessedness. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God doesn't just give us a promise or some other thing as a pledge. God gives us himself. The Holy Spirit himself comes and lives in this tent alongside of us. Romans 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Think about it. If God were to lose you because of something you did or failed to do, or because of something that someone else did to you, or something that the evil one did to you, if God were to lose you, he would be losing himself. And that's not going to happen. We know that we have a home in heaven. We want to go there and live there. We are confident that God is going to make all of this happen. Fourth and finally, this is how we will now live. And here's Paul's challenge to us today. Two final words. He says, this is going to be our attitude. We're going to go through life with courage. And he says it twice. Verse 6, so we are always of good courage. And verse 8, yes, we are of good courage. Now, what else would you expect? Because our future home is so wonderful and so secure, and because it is so certain that we're going there when we die, what other attitude would a Christian have? We can be courageous because we don't just look at the tent that is falling apart. We walk by faith, not by sight. We can be courageous because we are trusting our God to be true. Life today can be so frustrating and frightening. Who are we to believe? There are so many conflicting things being said in the media, and that simply adds to the fear. Does anyone really know what's going on? The coronavirus. Where did it come from? What's China been up to? The number of people dying. The various ways that you can get infected. The people who are getting infected. The odds that if you are infected, you won't make it. It's going to come back in the fall with a vengeance. Okay, all of that might happen. But Paul would be the first to say we can't spend our lives living in fear. The Christian should be the first to say, so we are always of good courage, because we know where our true home is. Now, that doesn't mean that we throw off all caution and concern. But it does mean that we keep in the center of our minds and hearts the promise of Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you, a building from God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Friends, let this be your attitude today. Be strong and courageous. And then this is going to be our ambition. Verse 9, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. C.S. Lewis, in a very insightful chapter on hope in his book Mere Christianity, remarked that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. Now, Lewis certainly understood the connection between having a courageous attitude fueled by sustained thoughts about our heavenly home and the here and now ambition of, in whatever we do, we make it our aim to please God. And what better ambition could there be in life but to please the God who made us and loves us and takes care of us, the Savior who died for us, the Spirit who lives within us to comfort us? Each and every day, reset your compass to true north. Say it, and say it in your hearts, and say it out loud if you need to. Whether I am at home or away, I make it my aim and ambition to please Him. And then on that last great day of human history, all will stand before Christ, and all that we've thought, said, and done will be laid out, as it were, on a table. And all the worthless things that we've done will be burned away. All the good things we've done by God's grace will shine all the more brighter, like gold refined in a fire, the dross, the wood, hay, and straw burned away. The gold, the silver, the precious stones revealed for the value that they have. And Christ Himself will hold all of that up for all to see and say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, share in your master's happiness." For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.